The title of today's special Hanukkah shiur is The Message of the Lights of Hanukkah. We are all noisorim. We are all survivors. Perhaps the most famous question in all of Jewish liturgy is that of the Beis Yosef in Orach Chaim, Siman Ayin Tuf Resh, who asks that if the miracle of the lights of Hanukkah was 7 days, because there was enough oil for the light to last for 1 day, why in fact do we keep Hanukkah 8 days? We should only keep it 7 days. This question has hundreds of answers. There was a sefer written a number of years ago called Ner Lameya, which contained within it 100 answers to the question. Recently, I saw a sefer that had between 400 and 500 answers to this question. I would like to share with you an answer that I do not believe is written in any of these svarim. But before we begin with that answer, let me share with you a simple thought that I recently saw from Hagoyin Rab David Feinstein Shlita, the Rosh Yeshiva of Masifta Teferes Yerushalayim. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Tainis that one of the Amoraim's daughters before Shabbos lit the Neiro Shabbos, but instead of using oil, she used vinegar. And she panicked, and she went to her father, and her father said, "No problem. Misha Amar L'Shemen Sheyadlik Hu Yomer L'Chomet Sheyadlik." The Ribbono Shel Olam, who has commanded that oil should burn, he will tell the vinegar to burn as well. Oil burns, it is also a miracle. We're just used to it. We call it teva, we call it nature. But it is the same Ribbono Shel Olam who, through Nes Nister, through the hidden miracle, through a miracle that we are accustomed to day after day, it is the Ribbono Shel Olam who makes that oil burn. He can make something that we are not used to, vinegar, burn as well. Says Rav David Feinstein Shlita, the reason that we have 8 days of Hanukkah, 7 days to celebrate the special miracle of the one crucible of oil lasting for 8 days, but the first day of Hanukkah is to celebrate the miracle of Teva, of nature itself. The fact that oil can burn, this itself is a miracle. This itself calls out to us, to Klal Yisrael, to celebrate as a miracle. The Pri Chodesh offers a second teretz. The Pri Chodesh says, true, the last 7 days were the miracle of the lights. The first day of Hanukkah is the miracle of the Nitzachon, the victory of the Chashmonaim over the Yevonim, over the Greeks. And that's why we have Hanukkah for 8 days. And the question on the Pri Chodesh is self-obvious. If that is the miracle of the first day, the victory over the Greeks, then why don't we have Hanukkah 8 days, but we should only begin lighting the Ner, the candle, the light, to commemorate the victory, to commemorate the miracle of the lights, that should begin on the second day of Hanukkah. Why do we begin that miracle on the first day of Hanukkah? And perhaps the answer to this question is, because that Ner that we light the first day of Hanukkah tells us, it defines for us what is the essence of the miracle of the last 7 days of Hanukkah. Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, the holder of the light is comparable to mitzvah, and the light itself is comparable to Torah. The victory over the Greeks was not only a physical victory, but it was a spiritual one, and its main victory was the spiritual one of Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, conquering Choshech Al Pnei Sehom, the darkness that covered the world at the beginning of creation, which Chazal tell us that this darkness refers to Malchus Yavon. So the first night, says the Pri Chodesh, we also light a candle. For that candle defines to us what the nature of the victory of the Hashem Noam over the Yuvanim was. It was a miracle of Ruchnius. It was a spiritual miracle that is personified by the light of Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. And perhaps, if we think of this a little deeper, we can understand to a new dimension this miracle of the victory of the Hashem Noam over the Yuvanim. And I would like to share with you as an introduction something that I had the privilege of hearing at a dinner of the Panovich Yeshiva here in New York City. I had gone there in honor of the Rosh Kollel. I had shared a kollel together with Hagoyin Rav Naftali Friedler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was being honored by Panovich Yeshiva, and for the only time in my life, I went to the dinner in honor of the Rosh HaKollel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And at that dinner, Rabbi Friedler, in his remarks, related to the audience what he had heard in England after the Second World War, where the Panovich Rav, Rav Yosef Kahaneman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, had gathered all these survivors together, and in a very moving speech, he told them in Yiddish, Mirzenin Noisorim, we who have survived the war, we are survivors. But the word he used to define survivors was Noisorim. And the Rosh HaKollel, Rav Naftali Friedler Zatzal, explained the words of the Panovich Rav. What was the message that the Panovich Rav was attempting to impart to the shattered souls, the shattered people, the survivors of that infamous and unspeakable Holocaust? He was telling them, you are Noisorim, you are not Nisharim. There are two words in Lashon Kodesh that mean survivors. One is Nosor and one is Nisher. And we have from the Malbim, Rav Samson Fol Hirsch and others who have taught us that there are no synonyms in Lashon HaKodesh. Two words which seem to be identical really have different meanings. And so it is here with the word Nosor and with the word Nishar. And what is the difference between these two words? Says Rav Friedler Zatzal, Nosor means that I am part of the group, but I survived. And he brings a proof from a Rashi in Parsha Shmini, Perik Yud Pasuk Yud Beis. Following the death of Nadav Aviyu, Vayedaber Moshe El Aaron Vela Lozer Vela El Yisomar Bon of Hanoisorim. Moshe spoke to Aaron and to Elozer and Yisomar, the surviving children of Aaron following the death of Nadav Aviyu. And Rashi tells us on that pasuk, Hanoisorim min Amisa, Melameid She'af Aleihem Niknas Amisa, Utfilosei Shel Moshe Bitla Mechza. Says Rashi, the word Noisorim teaches us that the Gzeira, the edict, to kill the children of Aaron not only went on Nadav Aviyu, but it went on Elozer Yisomar as well. All four sons of Aaron were supposed to perish. But the tefillah, the prayer of Moshe, caused that only two perished and the other two survived. And this is based on the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. Says the Panovich Rav, with the explanation of Rav Friedler, that the word nicer means you're a part of it. It should have happened to you, but you survived. And as we find in Parshas Vayikra, Perik Beis, Pasuk Gimel, concerning the Korban Mincha, where the Kohen was to take the flour and between his three middle fingers, he would make a kmitza. And whatever was left in the bowl, whatever he scraped off with his pinky and with his thumb that went back into the bowl, that belonged to Aaron and his children. As the pasuk says, V'hanoseres min amincha, la'aron ulevonav kodesh kadoshim me'ishe Hashem. Whatever was in the three fingers belonged on the Mizbeach. That was the Korban Mincha. But whatever wound up in the bowl which is called Noiseres Min HaMincha, that belonged to Aaron and his children, Holy of Holies, part of the korbanos that are burnt to Hashem. And so we find in Parshas Tzav, Perek Vav Pasuk Tes, Vanoseres Mimeno, what's left over, Yoichlu Aaron Uvanov. Aaron and his children can eat, and this refers to the Kedusha that rests on the Mincha. It is not only on that which is sacrificed on the altar, but even on the leftover, even on the part that Aaron and his children are able to eat and enjoy. It also, that part also, that leftover part also has a holiness, and it is considered holy of holies. And as the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis tells us, V'koyhanim ki kazachu mishulchan gavoya kazachu. The Kohanim, when they get that Noiseres Min HaMincha, when they are privileged to be able to eat that and consume that Noiseres Min HaMincha, what are they consuming? They're consuming Kodesh Kadoshim. They're consuming Holy of Holies. They're consuming that which is given to them by Hashem from the Shulchan Gavoa, the high table of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it makes a difference in Halacha. If a Kohen takes this Noseres Min HaMincha, this leftover of the Mincha sacrifice, and he goes over to a woman, and he says, Hare at mekudeshesli, with this leftover of the mincha, which I am allowed to eat, which Hashem allows me to consume. And he gives it to the woman, and it's worth $1, $2, whatever it's worth. Is the woman mekudeshes? Is she engaged to him through that? If he had given her $1, she would be. If he had given her fruits and vegetables and flour that was not holy, she would be mekudeshes. But since this is part of Hashem's korban, since it's holy of holies, there's a permission given to the Kohen, to Aaron and his children, to consume it. But it is not theirs. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to Hashem. And therefore the woman in this case would not be mekudeshes. What do we see from this explanation of the leftover of the mincha? That which is called noiser is part of the larger group. The leftover is also holy. However, if we take the word nishar, which also in English means the leftover, the surviving part, nishar is different. Nishar means you're not part of the group. And a proof to this is what we find in Parsha Shoftim, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chaf. The Pasuk says concerning the Edim Zomimim, if two witnesses said testimony that Reuven killed Shimon, and therefore Reuven deserves to die. We saw Reuven kill Shimon. Two other witnesses come along and say, how could you say that Reuven killed Shimon in New York at 12 o'clock on that particular day, when at that time you weren't in New York, you were with us in L.A. There's no way that you could have witnessed that murder in New York at that time. And the halacha is that the two witnesses who were bearing false testimony, they receive the same punishment, that which they wanted to do to Reuven, who they were setting up that he should be killed for something that he didn't do. Says the Pasuk, Vahanishorim, those who are left over, the bystanders, Yishmu Viro, they should see, they should hear, they shouldn't do such a thing again. When they see what's happening to the Edim Zomim, the false witnesses, they should fear what's happening and they shouldn't repeat such a thing. What word does the Torah use to speak about those survivors? Vahanishorim. Those who are left over, meaning that the people, the innocent bystanders who are witnessing all this, they had nothing to do with this crime. They had nothing to do with the false testimony of the false witnesses. Therefore, they're not called noiser. They're not part of that evil group of witnesses. They are nisharim. They are on the side, having nothing to do with that other terrible group. Says the Panovich Rav, we who have survived the Holocaust, We are not nisharim, we are noisarim. That means that we have to realize that the gzeira that Hashem made, that Hitler, yimach shemoi, should destroy 6 million of our brethren, of our brothers and sisters, was not only on them, it was on us as well. As Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, the great Branovitcher, Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzadik, V'Kodesh Levracha, Hashem, Yinkoim Domov, who was killed at the hands of the Lithuanians, Yimach Shemom V'Zichram, when they took him and his people out to be killed, he spoke to his people, he gave them words of encouragement, as we find printed in the Hagdama of his Sefer, the introduction of his Sefer, Kobet Shurim. And I'll say it in Yiddish and then translate it. Darfen mir in Zinnenhaben. We have to have in mind. As mir velen seine bessere korbanis. We will be better sacrifices. Oy mir velen tshuvaton. If we repent. Velen mir upratavin. We will save. Unser Amerikaner, Brüder und Schwester, our American brothers and sisters. In other words, we take from the words of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman that we have to remember at all times that on us too, it was fitting that this punishment should belong to us as well, and v'noisarnu, and we have survived. And a person shouldn't say, what difference is it what I'm called, whether I'm called a noiser or a nisher? There is a great difference. Because if one looks at himself as a nisher, if one survived the Holocaust and he considers himself a nisher, then that doesn't obligate him in anything. Unfortunately, 6 million of my brothers and sisters perished in the Holocaust. But that has nothing to do with me. I'm a separate group. I was living in America or in Australia or South America, and I wasn't involved in that terrible tragedy. But if I'm a noiser, if I realize that I'm considered part of the group, that really the gzeira of destruction of the Jews was to the entire Jewish people, and I, with the graciousness of Hashem, survived, or if I was in that burning inferno in Europe, and yet I survived, then I survived for a purpose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept me alive for a reason, and the reason is to make up that which was lost. I was part of that group, and the greater part of my group perished, and I, the minority that's surviving, I have to make up that great void, that great loss. As the Novominsky Rebbe Shlita once said, that each of us who have had close relatives or distant relatives that perished in the Holocaust, we have to make our lives so productive that we have to make up for the loss of tens and hundreds and thousands of our fellow brethren. We have to have such meaningful lives to make up that great loss. As I once heard in the name of Rav Schneur Kotler Zitzel, when he was in his final days in the hospital and they brought him a boy from Russia, a few boys, and he asked them, where are you from? Where are you from? And they responded, I'm from Moscow, and I'm from Odessa, and I'm from Leningrad. And Rav Schneur Kotler Zitzel told them, you from Moscow, you're not just you, but you're representing the thousands of our brethren, of our brothers and sisters who unfortunately lived through the communist era and assimilated and were not able to practice and be Jews. You who, Baruch Hashem, today are a religious personality, you represent those thousands, and you from Odessa the same, and you from Leningrad the same. We survivors from physical and spiritual holocausts, we have to make up that which was lost, because that's what the Ponovitcher Rav charged us. We are Nisarim, we are not Nisharim. We're part of the group, and we have to make up that which was lost by the group. This is what I heard from Rav Friedler Zitzel in the name of the Ponovitcher Rav Zitzel. I would like to add on the foundation that they have created for us. I had the privilege a number of years ago to deliver this talk in front of Rav Friedler in the kollel that we shared, and Rav Friedler felt that my addition was indeed MS. It kept to the truth that the Panovich Rav had expressed. And let me share it with you. I believe we can find the thought of the Panovich Rav in a few psukim in Parshas Vayishlach. When Yaakov Avinu meets up with the Sari Shel Esav, when he meets up with the angel of Esav, and they had a fight, they wrestled and they wrangled, and then finally, Vayar Kilo Yocholoi, the Sar Shel Esav sees that he cannot beat Yaakov, he cannot overcome him. And it would seem from this pasuk that the Sar Shel Esav, that angel, thought, yes, I will be able to beat Yaakov. And then something happened, and he was unable to defeat Yaakov. What did the angel think to begin with, and why did this thinking change at the end? What was his havamina, and what was his maskana? And I believe that the angel thought that he saw a defect in Yaakov's thinking, in Yaakov's talking. For as we know, everything that happened on that cold and dark night when Yaakov faced that angel, that Sar Shel Esav, all of it, as the Ramban tells us, was Maisei Avoy Simulabonim. What happened to our forefathers was a testimony to what would happen to the future generations of Klal Yisrael. And when Yaakov saw that he was being attacked by Esav, Yaakov said, "Im yavoy Esav el machano achas viko v'hoya hamachane hanishor lepleito." If I'm going to divide my family up into two camps, for if the Esav comes to attack one camp, at least the other camp will survive. And notice the word that Yaakov used. He did not use the noiser word. He used the nishar word. And the Ramban tells us that Yaakov was giving a remez ledoros. He was giving a hint for future generations that it will never be possible that one dictator, one evil king, will be able to destroy, to kill out all the Jews. And if, God forbid, it will happen that there will be one terrible enemy in one place, then at least somewhere else in the world there will be a place where the Jews can run to be saved. And that is in fact what we saw during the years of the Holocaust, that although Europe was a place of destruction and death for the Jews, but there were other countries where the Jews could flee to, where the Jews could live and not be concerned about Hitler Yimach Shemoy, in Australia, in America, in South America. And we see as well, explains Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in his pamphlet, in his Kuntres Ikvus de Meshicha, in the name of the Vilner Gaon, that when Yaakov faced Esav, and first he put the maidservants and their children, and then Hashvachas Vesialdein Rishoina, Vesleya Vilodea Acharonim, and then came Leah and her children. And then the final one was Ves Rachel, Ves Yosef Acharanim. The last ones were Rachel and Yosef. Says the Vilner Gaon that this is an indicator of what's going to happen at the end of days, that it, right before Mashiach comes, who will lead Klal Yisrael? It will be the children of the maidservants, as the Vilner Gaon explained it, the descendants of the heir of Rav. Not the purest part of Klal Yisrael. They will be the leaders. And after them will be the general populace, which are alluded to by the children of Leah. And final, the ones who are all the way at the end of the line, the ones who receive the least respect in the Jewish world, these will be Rachel and Yosef, representing the Talmidei Chachamim, the Talmudic scholars who will be at the end of the line. So in this period of Ikvus HaMashiach,
when the footsteps of the Messiah can be heard, the Sar Shel Esav thought that he's going to vanquish Yaakov. Why? Because Yaakov used the word Nishar. Yaakov said, the camp that will survive, the Jews of America, the Jews of Australia, the Jews of South America, they will be Nishar. They will be separated from the 6 million who perished in the Holocaust. Says the Sar Shel Esav to himself, if you're going to consider yourself Yaakov a Nishar, which means, as we explained before, that we have no obligation to make up the loss that Klal Yisrael suffered. We can continue to lead our own lives without thinking about our responsibility to make up that which we were a part of, that group, and that loss that the group suffered. Then Esav will be successful in defeating Yaakov, whether through military means, or as the Beis Halevi tells us, Hatzileini na miyad ochi miyad Esav. Yaakov prayed to Hashem, save me from the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esav. Esav can kill us in two ways. He can destroy us physically, militarily. He can also destroy us through ecumenicism, through brotherly love. Ochi, my brother Esav, in both ways he will try to do it at the end of days. So Esav, the Sar Shel Esav, the Malach thought, you used the word Yaakov, Nishar. Nishar means you have no obligation to make up the loss. I will defeat you. But then Yaakov realized his mistake. And when he went over the river to obtain a few crucibles that had been forgotten on the other side of the river, on that dark night, the Pasuk says the word, Vayivoser Yaakov Levadoi. Yaakov realized that if he is to act as a sample, an example for his children before the coming of the Messiah, then he cannot act as a Nishar. Vayivoser. Vayivoser comes from the word Noser. Yaakov realized that he has to lead his life as a Noser, as someone who was part of the group, and when the group suffers a loss, the survivor will make up that loss. As soon as Yaakov used the word Vayivoser Yaakov Levadoi, then the Sar Shel Esav realized, if that's going to be the strategy of Yaakov at the end of days, then Vayar Kilo Yocholoi, the Sar Shel Esav realized and understood that he will not be able to vanquish Yaakov, because Yaakov wants to be a Nosar and not a Nishar. And continuing in this line of thought, a Jew who realizes that his purpose in life is to be a Noiser and not a Nisher, he will get a special title. His title will be a Shoshana, a rose. As we find in Shir HaShirim, that Klal Yisrael is compared to a rose amongst the thorns. Kishoshana ben achochim, like a rose amongst the thorns, kein rayosi ben abonais, so is my beloved amongst the girls. And Rashi explains, Kishoshana ben achochim, sheminak vinoisa, the thorns pierce and prick at the rose. How does the thorn react to the pricking of the thorns? It retains its beautiful red color. Even after the holes are made into the rose, as Rashi continues, Kain Rayasi ben Abonai, so is my beloved amongst the daughters, amongst the girls. Shemefatoi say so. The other daughters of the world tried to seduce her, to seduce Klal Yisrael, Lirda Vachreyim, to follow, to run after them, Liznos Kemosam, to stray from the Almighty like they stray, Achri Elohim Acherim, and to go after other gods, Vehi Omedes Bemunasa, but she remains red, she remains beautiful, she retains her faith in the Almighty. And so it was in the days of the Greeks. The Greeks commanded the Jewish people, Kisvu lachem al keren ashor, she'ein lachem chelek b'lekei Yisrael, right on the horn of the ox,
that you have no longer any part of the God of Israel. And that's how they wanted to influence through the wisdom of the Greeks and their philosophy. And in fact, they were very successful. There were many spiritual casualties. The Misyavnim, those who caused a hole in the red rose of Klal Yisrael. But the B'nai Hashmonaim, what did they realize? They realize there's a hole. They realize they have to make up the hole. And they screamed out to their brothers and sisters, Mi Lashem Eli, whoever believes in Hashem, follow me. And they took the message of Nisar. And they said, we have to resist this Gzeirav Shmad that we are under. We have to resist what the Yevanim are trying to do to the Jewish people. And if there are holes in the rose, we have to fix those holes. We have to make it up. We have to be a nicer to recreate the sheer Kaim of Klal Yisrael, to recreate the total greatness of the Jewish people. And just as the one crucible of oil completed, made up the cavity, it took 7 days, as the Ran explains in Masechet Shabbos, to make new oil. And the Yevanim wanted to make sure that the Jews don't have tohar oil, pure oil that was not defiled. So they came into the Beis HaMikdash and Timu Kol HaShmanim Shebeheichol, as we are told the story of the Yevanim in the Beis HaMikdash. They maliciously, with thought, premeditation, they made sure to be metame, to defile every single crucible of oil that they found. But there was one crucible that they missed. And that crucible, in it lay the power that until the new oil would be pressed, until the 7 days were up, until they could get new tohar, pure oil, this one oil made up the loss. This one crucible lasted, instead of 1 day, it lasted 8 days. So Matisyo took the lesson of that Nair to be a nosar, to make up the loss. If I have to make up a loss of 7 days, then I won't just burn 1 day. I will burn a total of 8 days. I won't be a nisher that I survived myself, but I don't have any responsibility to make up the loss. No, I will be a nosar. I'll make up the loss. And from that lesson of the Nair, the one crucible that made up and lasted 8 days, that's where the Hashmonaim got their inspiration, that they too, using that philosophy, would make up the hole that was pricked into the red roads of Klal Yisrael. And now, how beautiful is the song that we sing during Hanukkah of Mois Tzur, in which we say, Yevonim nikpitzu alai, the Greeks gathered up against me, vitimu kol hashmanim, and they went around and they defiled every single crucible of oil. Barumi noisar kan kanim. Here's the word noisar again. From the leftover of the crucibles, from that one crucible that they missed, that remained tohar and it had on it the stamp of the high priest of the Kohen Gadol. It didn't just burn that one night for itself. Mi noisar kan kanim, by realizing that I have to make up the loss and I have to burn for another 7 days beyond my normal strengths. Uminoiser kankanim, nasenes lashoshanim, the red roses which the Hashmonaim are called, that they didn't allow the prick, they didn't allow the hole of, that the nations of the world were trying to prick the red rose of Klal Yisrael. They didn't allow it to remain a hole, but rather they filled the hole up. Uminoiser kankanim, nasenes lashoshanim. And therefore, when Chazal were koveya, how many days do we celebrate Hanukkah? B'nei Vina, the children of Bina, great understanding, they understood. Yemei Shmoina Kavu Shirun Anim. They didn't just make 7 days to celebrate the miracle that the one crucible of oil lasted another 7 days. They celebrated 8 days because they were celebrating the first night as well, as the Pri Chodesh told us, because that
explains the essence of the miracle of the Yevanim, of the Chashmonaim over the Yevanim. It was a miracle of Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. But in what way was it a miracle of Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or? It was a Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or through Noser, through realizing that if I survived, I can't just live my life for myself. I have to make up the loss of the group that I was part of. Everything that this group lost, Narev Avi, you have to make up the loss of a Lazar V'Samer have to make up the loss of their brothers who perished, Narev Aviyu. We in America have to make up the loss of the 6 million that perished in the Nazi Holocaust. B'nei Vina, Yemei Shmoina, Kavu Shiru Nanam. They made 8 days of celebration, of song and joyfulness. This is the message of the lights of Hanukkah, that the surviving Jews, and we are all survivors, tells us the Panovich Rav, we have to lead our lives like the surviving crucible of oil, like the surviving Chashmonaim, that we have to fix up the chasorin, fix up the loss, and thereby, through our daily actions, we will be able to bring back the full red color of the beautiful red rose that is Klal Yisrael. Maybe we be worthy to lead such lives and to attract our lost brethren back to their Masorah, back to their rich and beautiful heritage, our Torah Kedosha, so that once again, B'nei Vina, Yemei Shmona, Kavu Shir Urnanim, and the Shoshana Bein Achochim will survive Kein Rayasi Bein Habonos. Amen, Kein Yehi Ratzon.
As a postscript, let me add the following. Subsequent to recording this shir, on the first night of Hanukkah this year, as I was lighting the menorah, I had the question, when we sing the song of Haneros Halolu on the first night of Hanukkah, should we not say Haner Hazeh? There is only one candle, there's only one light that we are lighting. Why on the first night of Hanukkah do we say Haneros Halolu in the plural, these lights? It's only Haner Hazeh, this light, this one light that I am lighting. And I believe perhaps the answer based on our entire shir is as follows. What is the reason, as we have explained, why a light is lit the first night of Hanukkah? Because that light defines what the victory of the Chashmonaim was over the Yevanim. It was a victory of Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or through the concept of Nosar, because the one light had to fill up the gap that was missing from the other 7 days until new Tohar, pure oil, could be produced. So when I look at Haner Hazeh, when I look at this one singular candle, it's not one, it's Haneros Halolu. This one candle is an Osar. This one candle realizes that it has to make up the loss of all the other Neros. So that itself is the miracle of the first night of Hanukkah. And therefore, we do not say Haner Hazeh. We say Haneros Halolu Onu Madlikim Al Hanisim. For that first night of Hanukkah represents all of the Neros Halolu. A Freilich and Chanukah.